Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. What good is a man's toil and anxiety of heart? That's what we heard in our first reading from Ecclesiastes. And Paul, in our second reading, says for us to put away earthly things, stop lying to one another, stop our evil desires, put on the image of our Creator. So one wonders, is there a relationship between the worthless anxiety of our first reading and our evil desires of our second reading? Maybe. Allow me to share with you two stories. Two stories of vanity. Because we have to be consistent with our vocabulary, right? Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. So, story number one, the vanity of Christmas sparkles. So about a year and a half ago, I had the 10 p.m. Christmas Eve Mass. And it had a youth choir from the school, so it was a very well-attended Mass. And I got in, you know, around 9:30, nice and early, to start setting up, talk to the servers and such. And I got there at 9:30, and all four of my servers were on time, so points for them. Now, the thing about me is I like to tease my servers a little bit before Mass. You know, ease the tension, calm the nerves, that sort of thing. I think it's important. And so I get there, and I put on my alb and my other little things, and I open the cabinet to look for a chasuble. And I was looking at the white ones, because you wear white for Christmas. So I'm digging through the white ones, and at the very back of the closet, or cabinet is a better word. At the back of the cabinet, that's not the right word either. I'm just going to call it a wardrobe. at the very back of it, I saw something. It was just so bad. I can't believe I didn't notice it before that day. It was this horrid cream-colored chasuble. So it's either bad taste or just that old. And it had small sequins all over it. So it sparkled from head to toe. So, of course, I have to pull it out and say, ugh, it's like a 70s prom dress they turned into a church garment. So what about this one for tonight? And one of the servers, who has known me a little while, said, Father, if you wear that, we're going to call you Father Sparkles for the for the rest of your life. And I was in an argumentative mode that day, apparently, and I said, so you're saying that I wouldn't be able to rock this chasuble for the entire Mass and look fantastic doing it? It was at that point that Mary Jo walked into the sacristy. Mary Jo has known me since the first moment of, I started at that parish, and she's very proper and pretty pious and a little stern. She walks up to me, puts her hand on my shoulder, and said, Father Justin, your mic is on. And it was. The entire church heard that entire conversation. So I turned my mic off, and we all had a nice laugh over that one. I did wear the sparkle garment out of like a punishment for myself, I think. And life went on, and the rest of the Mass went on without a hitch. So that's fine. That's story number one. Story number two is the vanity of piano music at Mass. So back in the seminary, we had, you know, Mass every day, of course. And everybody was required to take a turn being the cantor, you know, singing at Mass and leading in the song. And when it's your turn to canter, you are not free to choose the song. All the songs are chosen months in advance, and there's a sheet that says, you know, the number of the song. So, as per my normal routine, the night before I take a look at the song, and it's very difficult. It's a very difficult song for both me and everybody else, I could tell. So I really made forth the effort, and I learned it on piano. You know, nothing that'll win an award or anything, but I did more than just plunk out the melody, you know, one key at a time. So the next morning arrives, I set my things up, Mass begins, and I play, and I sing the tune, and lead everyone in song. And at first, it doesn't sound like anybody is, all that many people are singing along with me. But I can't really know, because 100% of my attention is devoted to the music. But by the time the priest got to his chair, it was pretty clear that no one was singing with me. Turns out, I used the wrong book. In the chapel, we have two hymnals, a red one and a blue one. We use the red one 9 times out of 10, and it was a day for a blue one. And there was a little mark on the song sheet, which I just didn't notice. So no one was singing along because the numbers didn't match. So the priest starts Mass, and after the sign of the cross goes, "Well, that was interesting." So Justin, for our closing hymn, we'll be singing number 322 in the blue Gather hymn, right? And all I can do is just sheepishly, like, nod yes. And as everyone's looking back at me at the piano, I could feel myself shrinking out of shame. And I was actually so jarred by that, I actually couldn't bring myself to take communion that day. So those are the two stories. And here's how they're similar. They're both stories that are embarrassing. They are both stories that were unintended moments in life. They weren't something, you know, you planned for. They both happened because I made a mistake somehow. And ultimately, they're both stories about unwanted attention. So to a fly on the wall, they might as well be identical stories. But they're not, are they? So what's the difference? Well, really, there's only one difference. Worthless anxiety. In the first story, no anxiety. A mistake was made. Attention was brought to it. No real damage was done. And life went on. In the second story, a mistake was made. Attention was brought to it. And damage was done. Because feelings were hurt. And because of that, specifically because of that, that entire Mass was one big old chunk of anxiety. And no good comes from that, because it's just worry about something I couldn't change, you know, the past. So when Paul is telling us to put away our earthly things, he's talking about the things that bring us down for no good reason. Because, you know, we're not talking about normal worry, because that keeps you cautious in times of trouble. That can be useful. Anxiety just makes people unhinged, and no one likes to feel that way. Paul tells us to put away our evil desires and to put on the image of our Creator. Maybe part of what he had in mind was for us to be aware of the difference between teaching and tormenting, between correction and coercion, between showing someone a better way and correcting a fault, and teasing someone for their error. Because one of those things is heavenly, the other is earthly. One thing builds people up, the other knocks them down. So the question today is, do we build up confidence or do we build up anxiety? Which one do we do for ourselves? Which one do we do for others? Because remember, if it's even heavenly things and earthly things, they can affect yourself and the people around you just as easily. Fact is, we all teach and we all torment, at least a little bit at some point, you know? And most of the time, we don't mean to be tormenting. Most of the time, we thought it was funny at the time, only it wasn't funny for everybody. That happens. That is part of life. But it doesn't mean that we can't do a little bit better. So let's take this day to renew our God-given ability to help one another as fellow flawed and imperfect people. And let's keep on trying to put away our earthly things, whether they be evil desires, vanity, or worthless anxiety.